Dette en podcast fra Dagens Næringsliv.
Hei og velkommen, kjære lytter. I dag har vi en litt spesiell episode. Før denne pandemien startet, så var vi så heldige å få besøk av en av de mest kjente vinprodusentene I Piemonte, da Gaia, som holder til I Barbaresco. Angelo Gaia var vel den personen som gjorde Barbaresco berømt, og nå vineriet I ferd med å bli overtatt av barna, og hans datter Gaia Gaia leder nå det arbeidet. Og vi hadde besøk av henne, så her skal dere få lov til å høre vår samtale med Gaia Gaia. Går det bra, Merete?
Du, det går veldig bra.
Du, I dag blir det stas.
I dag blir det veldig stas.
Dette for deg som det for en som musikkinteressert å møte hvem da?
Vet ikke jeg. Mick Jagger.
Det der, ja.
Ja, det der litt,
ja. Synes jeg. For vi skal få besøk av
Gaia Gaia.
Fra, altså vinprodusenten Gaia.
Mm.
De holder til I Piemonte.
I Piemonte.
Det to, hvis vi tenker kvalitativt, mest profilerte områdene.
Barolo og Barbaresco jo liksom de mest kjente. Og Gaia og hennes far, Angelo Gaia, lager jo vin både fra Barolo og Barbaresco. Men de bor I den vetle landsbyen Barbaresco. Og det veldig mange som ikke klarer å se forskjellen på Barolo og Barbaresco. Barolo en landsby og en appellasjon, et område som dekker over mange landsbyer. Og Barbaresco en landsby, og en appellasjon, men alle vinmarkene ligger da rundt Barbaresco.
Det har vært noen sånn veldig konflikter som dreier seg om hvordan man lager vinen.
Altså, folk har gått løs på både dører og vinkjeller med motorsag. Så dette har skapt veldig mye følelser I regionen. Dette begynte på 60-tallet, og Angelo Gaia var en av de som frontet denne her revolusjonen. Da. Og litt av årsaken, bakenforliggende årsaken, var at de ikke tjente penger på den vin de lagde på 60-70-tallet.
Måten de lagde på, for druematerialet stort sett det samme.
Ja, druen Nebbiolo, men måten de lagde vin på gjorde at Nebbiolo måtte lagre så utrolig lenge for å bli moden, og akseptert ut på markedet. Det var vanskelig å selge, det var en vanskelig vin å forstå. Så da begynte disse unge som da var unge på 60-70-tallet og lagra vin på barrikk, altså mindre eikefat, franske eikefat, som var 225 liter I stedet for sånne store botti som, med gammel eik som de gjorde før, og da jo flere tusen liter store. Angelo Gaia var en av de som begynte å lagre på barrikk, og på grunn av at det, sånn som Angelo Gaia for eksempel begynte å bruke barrikk, så fikk de alle verdens vinjournalister til å begynne å skrive om deg, og kvaliteten I mangens øyne gikk opp. Vinene ble lett tilgjengelige, de fikk høyere priser for vinene sine. Faren hans var veldig uenig I dette her, og sa at hvis sønnen skulle drive og eksperimentere sånn, så måtte han kjøpe sin egen vinmark, og så videre, og så videre.
Og det gjorde han?
Og det gjorde han. En snakker ikke så mye om tradisjonalister, modernister I dag. I Piemonte, de fleste har tatt en sånn gylden middelvei, der de bruker kanskje litt barrikk, og de fleste går tilbake igjen til botti.
Kan vi spørre henne om
dette? Ja, jeg jo litt sånn spent på om jeg kan da, for dette kan være at hun blir sur.
Ja, det kan det.
Ja, for det et spørsmål hun har fått mye, tipper jeg da.
Vi må inn på det.
Vi må jo inn på det, for det liksom kjernen I alt, og etter hun overtok, mer eller mindre, I 2013 og gangen, så har jo ting endret seg veldig. Gått tilbake igjen til en mer sånn tradisjonell stil. Så jeg jo veldig nysgjerrig på å høre hva hun sier. Hva har skjedd?
Så nå skal faren få I trynet det han mente var helt avgjørende ja. For sitt liv, og gå I opposisjon til sin far, det skal han. Du, dette gleder jeg meg til. Dette blir fantastisk.
Så blir det veldig spennende å høre hva hun sier.
Nå kommer hun hvert øyeblikk. Det bare å glede seg. Gaia Gaia, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much.
You're one of the leaders of a new generation who's going to take over one of Piemonte's most influential wine brands, actually one of the world's most influential. When you were a little kid, did you know that this was going to be your life?
Absolutely, yes. Even though I didn't have an incredible understanding, or I didn't have yet a passion for wine, I started to work with my family, and I always wanted to work with them because I love them dearly, and because I always wanted to bring forward the dream of my grandfather, the project of my father. I felt that would have been very sad that the project was ending with them. And so I started because of that, because it's a tradition and because of the love that I have for them. And then passion arrived.
So At what time did your passion for wine arrive?
I think when I started to be fully involved, because when I was growing up, also my mom, all of us, we are in five. So there is my father, my mother, they have always been working every day at the winery. And so I grew up around them, looking at them, but not being really involved with my brain. I started to work with them when I was 23. And then when you start to have some responsibilities, then you start to have also your own ideas, and that's how passion started.
Denne podcasten sponset av TrippelTex. Å drive en bedrift uten regnskapsprogrammet TrippelTex litt som å felle trær uten motorsag. Øks funker det også, absolutt, men det blir gammeldags, eller? TrippelTex, det fleksible regnskapsprogrammet som forenkler hverdagen for over 100,000 fornøyde kunder. Prøv gratis på TrippelTex.no.
Is that the passion for running the winery, or is that the passion for wine that you're talking about now?
Oh, nice question. Wow. The two things are very similar. The passion for me, I confuse family, business, wine, everything is the same thing.
It's a mixture.
So it's a passion for all of that.
But your father is still very involved, isn't he?
Yes, my father is, tomorrow my father is turning 79. And when I'm going back, we are going to celebrate his birthday together. And my father is super involved every day at the winery as usual, from morning to evening. It's you can't retire from your life. So he's still very active. And then when I started to work with him, I discovered many funny things about my father. One special thing is that he's an optimist. And this is, I understood that this is not a detail, doesn't have to be taken for granted, because we are not all optimists. Me, for example, I'm a little bit more negative or a little bit more catastrophic than him. I always look a bit at the bad side. He's, regardless that he's 79, because in my mind, I always thought that people, when they get older, they become more negative because the future is no longer their friend.
Yeah.
They look at the past as a friend.
True.
No?
That's true.
But my father, even if time goes by, he always looks with optimism to the future. And so right now, because my sister, myself, and lately my brother, we are taking care of the everyday decisions, he is planning the future. So he's still strategically planning, working on projects that perhaps will be ready in 15 years from now. So it's very interesting. Only an optimist man can do that.
But to my understanding, he was quite rebellious to the generation before him.
He is rebellious, and my father is, in Italian we say, un bastian contrario. My father is a contrarian.
Yeah.
Ecco, that's the other thing. He's a positive guy. That's why he is 58 years of career have been 50 years of change. If you are a negative person, change is always something that brings you far away from your origin, can bring you to not being authentic anymore. But for someone like my father, change is always the bright side. No improvement without change.
But how is it to work with him now? If you want to make changes, does he respect that?
He is probably because he has never been a dogmatic person. He's not dogmatic with me and my sister neither. And so I noticed that we all love our project, we love our winery. So at least we don't put our ego in front. And so I may have an idea and I stand for it because I believe in it. And my father obviously always has the opposite idea. But then we talk and we talk and we talk. And he has to admit, he admits that there is some good thing in what I say. And I have to admit that in what he says, there is something good. And so at the end, we find an agreement. And if I am more convinced than him, he let me go with my choice.
If you have a family dinner after a discussion like that,
yes,
do you continue the discussion or you talk about the weather or the neighbor instead?
No. It's always talking about our discussion. And also, it's quite difficult. My father is also very not patient. So when I have to talk about something I really care about, maybe a new project, a new approach, I can't tell you in three words the project. Mm. So if I go to him and I speak with him after 3 minutes, if I'm not done, his leg starts to go up and down and I can see that he's not following anymore and kicks me out. So the only way we can communicate is that we go by letter. I write him long letters where I explain everything of what I want to explain him. I give him the letter and then at dinner, we sit down, I print the letter for everyone in the family, and then we comment the letter. And then from all these comments, we make a resume of all the comments, and then we meet a second time. We go like that.
but he's a very significant person, and everybody knows in the wine world knows about him. And I guess there are a lot of opinions, a lot of takes on what is the key to his success. What would you, if you were to point out, it's probably a difficult question, but if you were to point out what would be the single thing that you would say is the key to his success that he has done?
That his attitude, that he's a person that believes in doubt. So the philosophy of his way of work and the philosophy that he's teaching us is that we have to believe in what we do, but we always have to keep a 30% of doubt that what we do is correct. So what he's reminding myself and my sister every day is that we know nothing. Meaning that if you think that what you do is correct, then you can be trapped by your own belief. And there is no more margin for improvement because you are already on the right side. So you have to believe in what you do, but you always have to keep doubt. And that's why in our way of working, there has never been a protocol that we followed. There is not, with all the respect that I have for biodynamic farming, for biologic farming, and we share many things. We share a common philosophy in common. But our way of working, it's changing all the time because every time we notice that there is something that we do that is improving the balance, the harmony of our vineyard, but there is something that always has also a negative aspect.
I guess also the elements around you are changing. I mean, the climate change does also affect how you have to consider how you're doing the farming. And
climate change, which is concerning all of us, because if you are, there are producers, they have a different point of view about climate change. In the historic wine region, is seen with concern because we see that we have a completely different and more unpredictable weather trend. But there are also new wine region. There are places more north or higher in altitude that they look at climate change as a great opportunity. Mm. No? But my father, being an optimistic, he sees climate change as the great opportunity to show that he can handle it better than anyone else. It's an opportunity. He can show his greatness.
What have been, could you mention some specific things that you changed?
We changed, the climate change has one main effect. Climate change is giving us more unpredictable weather conditions. The weather is unpredictable by definition, but now it's becoming highly unpredictable. Look at, in February, we had 2 weeks where every day we had 20 degrees. This is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Last year, 2018, from the 1st of May to the 15th of June, so 45 days, we had 24 days of rain. In 2017, we had 84 days in Barbaresco without a drop of water and 40 degrees every day. And during the night, temperature were dropping to 30 degrees. So this is unseen in the past. So it's more unpredictable and is more violent in his expression of nature. So because of the unpredictability of the climate, we understood that we have to work more on the resilience of our vines. We have to work more in making sure that our vines, they grow healthy, happy and strong, and so they can fight better on their own. And also, the more biodiversity you have in a vineyard, the more healthy environment you have. If you have in a vineyard a lot of insects, you have much less problem with one insect that becomes the boss and rule the place. So it's obvious that you have a natural competition that brings a harmony.
But Mirjeta, you tasted the wines from Gaia many years.
Yes. And when I tasted the 13 vintage, which was I tasted last 2 years ago or something, and I felt like here, It's a difference. Huh. That the wines were more delicate, more flowery, more ready to drink, if I could say so, because they gave me a lot of pleasure just pouring it in the glass, even though it was quite fresh. And I thought that there has been a change.
Yes. Yes. But the wines are... There have been many changes. So I also believe that the wines of this century are very different from the wine of the previous century. Mm. So there is no way I can't compare 2013 with any other vintage of the past because of the quality of the tannins, the juiciness that there is. I don't find it even in a beautiful, elegant vintage as 2010 has been or 2004. So I think that for me, 2013 is a year where all the changes that we applied in the vineyards arrived to a harmony. Mm. Now that my sister and myself, we are more involved, 2013, I consider it a vintage where we have been much more behind everything. The wines start to be also a self-portrait of us and not only...
They're much more feminine, if I can say so. I don't like to use the word feminine, but they are much more...
Feminine, but tough female.
Yeah, of course.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Can we drink some wine?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Cheers.
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 Great idea. Yeah. Thank you. 16 is it's a vintage that I consider the wines are complete. They are very expressive. And the expressivity comes from the fact that during the summer and the fall, we had big up and down in temperature, which are very important. So the summer was warm, not super warm, but was warm. And during the night, you could have 15, 17 degrees of difference. So every time we have that, there is more intensity and expressivity at the nose.
How much of this did you put in botte compared to barrique?
Allora, we this topic of barrique and botte always comes out.
Have you had the question before?
Always comes out, especially when you talk about Barolo and Barbaresco. What we like of barrique is that it's a container that allows more oxygen to come in. So we want to make our...
Just to explain. So it's because of it's smaller, si. So it's... More of the wine surface that's in contact yes. with oxygen because it breathes.
You have a tiny quantity of wine surrounded by more wood. In a big cask, you have a big container that contains 2,000 or 5,000 liters. So the proportion wine-wood is less.
And that is a traditional way of making the Barolo, with the botte. With the big containers.
Yes, the traditional way is to use a big cask.
Yeah.
So... But inside my winery, the tradition since 40 years is to use barrique and big cask. Mm. So what we like of barrique, you have to be careful because barrique can release more smell, more taste of wood. It can also release more tannins of wood. Yes. Nebbiolo is a very essential, pure variety, and so can be easily overloaded, can be easily polluted or influenced.
And it's also one of the most tannic grape varieties by nature. So you have a lot of tannins.
Yes.
And then if you get tannins also from the wood, your risk is it gets a lot when you feel it in your mouth.
When you taste the 16 now, you don't feel the break at all, I think. I think it's more fruit than wood here. A very young wine. It's 2.5 years old and it's a Nebbiolo. So you could drink this now, I think. But of course,
thank
it
you,
will improve.
But I love that you say
it. I would like to have some food with it, then I would drink it.
But I'm very happy that you say that, especially in Norway, because in Norway there is a large crowd of necrologists. Did you say that? People that like to drink wine very, very, very old.
And when the Nebbiolo gets too brown, it also gets brown in the taste and all the fruit is gone. I don't like it. Is that fair to say?
Yes, you have to be careful not to drink it when it's too old. That I agree. But I like to drink old wines, but I just think that you miss... it's like you enjoy the wine only when he's 20 years old. You lost all the first part of life of that wine. What's wrong about trying the youth, the fruitiness, the vibrancy, the florality that the wine gives in a very generous way when he's young?
But I think also a lot of people are thinking about the Barbaresco Barolo, that it's matured in, it takes 30 years. Perhaps it did take 30 years ago, but not anymore.
Can I also ask you a question? The oak, does it add more tannins when it's new?
Yes.
So it's both the smell and the tannins that from new oak would be stronger than if you use old used barriques.
Yes, the barrique, there is a 20% maybe of new oak that we buy every year. And barrique can be used for 3, even 4 years. I think that the older the barrique becomes, the less oxidative it becomes, because all these holes, they get closed up.
Mm-hmm. Let's try the new wine.
Are you eager to taste the 14?
I am. You've been talking so much about it.
A bit redacted.
But it's very fresh.
Yeah, we were talking about that before. Also, with Nebbiolo, you always have to work a little bit. You have to grow a relation with the glass.
But reductive for a lot of people, it's not so easy to pinpoint what is reductive. Sometimes, like here, it can be a little bit, you get a little bit...
if you want to be honest,
yeah.
It's a little smell of, in French, I said in French it was elegant, smell of merde. You have two possibilities. Yeah. One possibility, it is reducted, but you do what we are doing right now, you turn and you turn the glass, little, by breathing, that smell goes away, and then it is, for me, a good sign that the wine was well protected.
Yeah, yeah.
Comes out the beauty like a lotus from the dirt. Wow.
When you drink a wine and you find the fruit expression, when we taste at the winery, we look for a fruit, a pure fruit expression, because that is the sign of youth. Mm. And if we have that, then you know that your wine has long aging potential. Mm-hmm. Not every vintage is like that. There are some vintages that are very young, are not even bottled, but you smell them and they taste like spices. Fantastic, but it's missing the fruit. Mm. When I don't feel the fruit, I have doubt about the aging potential.
If you were to say that you have the intellectual, analytical wine drinker and you have the passionate, pure emotional wine drinker, which side would you say you're at?
The intellectual or the passionate? The passionate.
The passionate.
What counts more is the emotion. That those, they win on brain. The most important decision, often I take them by feeling.
Yeah.
And so it's more the passion.
So how often do you drink wine?
I drink wine. I drink wine every day, and but I drink every wine wine every day for work. For pleasure, I have to admit that it can be almost every day, but it's not every day.
And if we were to single out all the areas you have your production in Piemonte, of course, and you also have Tuscany, and you also have in Sicily, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. And but if we were single out those places, what would be your personal favorite wine regions? I mean, all over the world.
No, I can. I know that is an interesting question, but I would lie if I tell you one specific place, because I think that Nebbiolo is an amazing variety, and for me, maybe I said it before, is the most pure variety. It's mm-hmm. essential, and for many people, it's too essential. It's missing this, it's missing mm-hmm. that, but for me, mm-hmm. it's a super terroir variety. It's a variety we are drinking it right now. What mm-hmm. I love of Nebbiolo is that it's also very discreet. While we are talking, I keep feeling the taste, but my taste is here on my chest. Mm-hmm. The taste is in my throat. It's not in my mouth. Mm-hmm. So it's a variety that stays back. And this is important for making the soil talk. It's not a loud speaker, Nebbiolo. It's a personality that is discreet, stays back, and so is allowed in the vintage and the soil to talk. That's why it's a terroir mm-hmm. variety. So I love Nebbiolo for this sobriety mm-hmm. and this discreetness. Mm-hmm. Is it my favorite variety? Maybe, yes.
Thank you very much for coming to visit us here.
Thank you for the invitation. I enjoyed a lot having breakfast with you.
Such a pleasure.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Du har nå hørt en podcast fra Dagens Næringsliv.